Thanks for listening. My name is Robert Green. I'm the pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, and this program is called Benefit from the Bible. Do you have a church home where God is working through His Word and through His Supper to build you up in Jesus Christ? Come and be a faithful member of Bethlehem Lutheran Church, 7500 State Road in Parma. Go to our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com, to find out more. Let us pray. Merciful God, who punished Your Son in our place, impress upon us the seriousness of lying and move us to immediately stop so that You are honored in our lives. We pray through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, in part four of our series, which was last Sunday, we asked the question, does God always accept our good intentions? If you were with us, you know the answer. We took a look briefly at the accounts of Adam and Eve, good intentions, bad result. Peter, good intentions, bad result. And we focused on Uzzah, very good intentions, very bad result. Today, our question is one lie a big deal? You'll easily see the answer as we get partway through today. We find ourselves in Acts chapter 5 today, and understand that little time has passed between Jesus' ascension into heaven, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. So we find ourselves with the New Testament church, and it is still a new church, and it is still being established. So it's with that setting that this particular account takes place. Going to the situation, we go to verses 1 and 2 of Acts chapter 5. The Bible says, "A man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet." So we might ask, what is this whole thing about selling and giving? Why were they even doing that? Well, we have a lot of that going on. I want to go to a section in Acts chapter 2 and then jump ahead to Acts chapter 4, just prior to our text in Acts chapter 5. It is telling us how much these new believers in Jesus loved each other. Maybe we have to ask ourselves, do we even love each other as much? What is the greatest commandment? Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What is the second greatest? To love our neighbor as ourself. They were actually doing that a long time ago. Do we do that today? Honestly, I don't think I do to the extent that God is calling me to do so. But when we look at what it says here, I hope we are, on one hand, convicted, but on the other hand, encouraged, that there is so much more we could do to show love for each other. So in Acts chapter 2, picking up in verse 44, the Bible says that all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And then jumping to chapter 4, the Bible says that no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they took what they had, they sold it, they brought the money to the apostles, and then the apostles were given the responsibility of distributing now according to those who had need. So did you notice any problems so far with Ananias and Sapphira? The Bible says that they had property, so they sold it, and they gave a portion of that money to Peter, again, to pass on to those who had need. So God had blessed Ananias and Sapphira with the property. It was their right to keep it or to sell it, up to them. They could have sold it if they chose to do so, and they could have kept all of the money, they could have kept some of the money, or they could have kept none of the money. That was all up to them. So do you see a problem so far? There's not. Everything is okay so far. Let's go on to part two, where we come to some realities of the situation. Picking up in verse 3, the Bible says, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan so filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.'" Now, there are some details there that we don't have, but we have to assume here very much so that when Ananias brought the money, he was either saying or very much giving the impression to Peter that we sold this property, Peter, and here is the entire amount. So take it, distribute to those in need, and that's what Ananias had to be giving the impression of. But the problem was, though, that was not actually what he was doing. That becomes the problem. So did you notice what Peter said to him? Satan has filled your heart. Why would he say that? Well, Jesus said of Satan, "There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So in a sense, we could say people who do lie and are not repentant, so people who do not have godly sorrow for what they have done and faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of what they have done, those people are not the children of God, but they are children of the devil, whose character is lying and who is the father of lies. So how bad is lying? Like I said earlier, I think we live in a world of liars in so many respects. I know I've lied before. So it's not like I'm above people who lie, but here's the difference. So we want to keep in mind, we have repentant liars and we have unrepentant liars. That's what makes the difference. The repentant ones have God's forgiveness. The ones who are not repentant, they do not have God's forgiveness. The ones who are repentant, they admit it, and with the power of God, they are trying not to continue in such things. With the ones who are not repentant, they say it's no big deal, and they plan to fully continue in it. That's where we get to the difference. But how bad is lying, though? Is lying as bad as practicing witchcraft? Is lying as bad as being sexually immoral? Is lying as bad as murdering someone? We would probably say it's not, correct? But what did Jesus say? "As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur." Is lying a serious matter? Boy, Jesus put the liars in with the murderers and adulterers and those practicing sorcery. God wants us to know, even though the world might say, no big deal, it doesn't matter what the world says. What matters is what God says. All of us have sinned. We've all fallen into things we shouldn't have. So God is saying, I love you. God is saying, repent. Receive my forgiveness. So even though we've fallen so far, God wants to lift us up in Jesus Christ. He wants us to know that no matter how great our sins are, what God has done for us in Christ is even greater and is able to take away every sin that we have committed. Praise God for that. Well, you might have also noticed what it said here in this section in part two. Peter said to Ananias, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And then he said, you have not lied to men, but to God. Let's put that together for a moment. Do we give the Holy Spirit his due? We live in a world today where even amongst Christian churches, sometimes they want to say, hey, God the Father is way up here. And then God the Son, there's a little bit of God, true God, in God the Son, so he's down here. Then the Holy Spirit, he's down here further, and he's kind of like a third-class citizen. Some people actually look at it in that way. They actually believe that's the teaching of Scripture. But that does not agree with the Bible, though. Right here, we have Peter calling the Holy Spirit God. What does the Athanasian Creed say? So many things on this topic, but in this one place it says, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet they are not three gods, but one God. God doesn't want us to discount the Son or the Holy Spirit. Let's understand that they are three in one, three persons in one divine Godhead. Can we get all the details of that? We can't. God's an awesome God, but let's not put them lower than they should be. Let's hold them in their proper place. Going on to part three, we see the results now of what happened with Ananias lying. When Ananias heard these words, the ones that Peter said about how he had lied to the Holy Spirit, who was God, the Bible says he fell down and breathed his last. Another result, and great fear came upon all who heard it. Another result, the young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. So he told one lie. I mean, think about the situation. He sold a piece of property. We know how valuable property can be. So he sells the property. Maybe he even gave, we don't know the percentages, maybe he gave 90% of what he got for the property. Maybe he gave that to Peter in order to distribute to those in need. We would say that is such a commendable thing that even though he held back 10% for himself, that should be no big deal, right? But what happens though? He lied to God, and immediately he drops dead. God wants us to know that even one lie is a big deal. Lying is sin, and sin leads to death. Sometimes immediately. Most of the time, not immediately. God is a very patient God. God is calling us to repent. But we have a different situation here that I'll talk about toward the end. And then we see that great fear came upon all who heard it. What are other people probably thinking? Oh, I've lied too. I'm still alive yet. But after I hear what happened to Ananias, wow, that's really sobered me up now. I want to make sure that I'm not falling into lies because I don't want to drop dead like him. People really got to thinking here now. So great fear came upon all the people. Well, a proper fear of God, a fear of God that God wants us to have for him, would be reverence for God. And to have a proper reverence for God, that's not that we are afraid of him, but to reverence God, that is a great blessing from God that he has given to us in Jesus Christ. So we should have a proper, healthy fear of God. Like it says in the Old Testament, we should tremble at the word of God. That's not in a bad way, that's in a healthy way. That means we are loving the Word of God, we are respecting the Word of God. We are knowing that that Word of God is for us and our salvation and our lives here on earth. Okay, part four then. We come to the accomplice. Picking up in verse 7, the Bible says, After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in not knowing what had happened. Can you imagine? She's sitting there at home thinking, he should be back in about 10 minutes. And now it's a half hour and an hour and 2 hours. He's still not back. She's like, what in the world happened to him? And finally, after 3 hours, she shows up to find out what happened. In verse 8, it says, and Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Of course, we have to understand here that God was so working with Peter in such a way that he knew things that the average person doesn't know. So he knew that Ananias was lying to him, even though if someone did the same thing to me, I wouldn't know. But God gave Peter the ability to be able to know that though Ananias was saying he was giving the whole thing, Peter somehow knew that he was not giving the entire thing. The way he went about it here, it seems it was clever in that if he would have told Sapphira, well, this is what happened, she would have known right away that, how do we used to say it, that the jig's up. So she would have known, and then she would have probably said something different. But he basically checked with her and said, Ananias came. He said, you sold it for such and such. Is that true? And she said, yes, it is true. So he gave her the opportunity to come clean and to not lie or to follow the path of her husband. And unfortunately, she followed the path of her husband. And then in part 5, we come to the results. Picking up in verse 9, the Bible says, but Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together, you and your husband, to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Can you imagine the thoughts that for the moment before she died must have been racing through her mind? What do you mean, those men carried my husband out? And what do you mean that they're going to carry me out too? And then the Bible says, immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. So let's be certain that God knows everything. If we tell a flat-out lie, God knows. If we try to manipulate our tax return a little bit, God knows. No matter how great it is, no matter how small it is, God knows everything. Many of us might remember this phrase, you can fool all of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool God. So let's make it right here. You can fool mom, I think, sometimes, but you can't fool God. The Bible says, back in the Old Testament, it says, the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. So God not only knows what we are thinking, but he knows why we are thinking what we are thinking. Nothing can be hidden from him. Also, too, the Bible says in Hebrews, no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So God wants us to know for certain that he knows everything. Think about when he came into the Garden of Eden. He's questioning Adam and Eve about what was going on, and they're trying to basically cover it up, like they tried to do with the fig leaves. Didn't work out so good, did it? God knows everything. God doesn't want us to try to hide our sin. God wants us to put it out on the table in confession and then know that in Jesus Christ we have his forgiveness. And then finally, in the last part here, I'm talking about a powerful example. God could have said to the early New Testament church, God could have said, be careful, if you lie, you will die. But we know, though, that actions speak louder than words. So what he did here, to make sure that the people took him in a serious way, I believe he made an example out of Ananias and Sapphira, because he wanted people to know that truly sin leads to death. Oftentimes it is eventual and not immediate. Now, some people will get this idea. Some people will say, oh, I've cheated on my taxes for years and I'm still living. That must mean that somehow that's okay with God. That should never, ever be the conclusion. God is never okay with our sin. God is a merciful God. God is slow to take action. God is very rarely taking action like he did with Uzzah and with Ananias and Sapphira. Very rare. But we should not test the patience of God. We should know that death could come to us at any second. So we should never put off repenting. We should never put off turning from our sinful ways. So in that day, we see again that great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. So not only people in the church, not only believers in Jesus, great fear came upon them, but even people outside of the church when they heard about it. So the ones who were in the church, I think they increased in their reverence for God. The ones who were outside the church, maybe they were cowering in the corner, afraid of God. So I think it was a different kind of fear, but it did increase both within the church and also outside the church. I think we live in a world today where most people have lost a healthy fear of God. So let us reverence God. Let us trust him. Let us love him above all people and also above all things. And all God's people said, amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a Bible teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. Go to BenefitFromTheBible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.